The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Serious Type.
Well, I think we have all the information the club needs. I'm very happy to welcome you as a member, Mrs. Gordon.
That's all there is to it?
That's all. Outside of the small membership fee, of course. What did you expect?
Tell the truth, I really don't know. I'm being silly, aren't I?
You most certainly are not. Believe me, Mrs. Gordon, you're no different than any other new member. Naturally, it feels a bit strange at first. I don't imagine it ever occurred to you that you might come to a place like this.
No, it didn't.
Why did you?
Beg pardon?
Come to a place like this. Because you were lonely. Isn't that it?
Yes, I guess it is. Ever since Mr. Gordon passed on 5 years ago,
Yes, I know. You'd be surprised how many times I've listened to the same story. A dear one leaves us and we find ourselves suddenly alone. For a time, memory of the departed is sufficient, but after a while...
You do know, don't you?
Only too well. Life wasn't meant to live by oneself. One searches. One hears of friendship clubs, one reads of them, yet fails to act. Mrs. Gordon.
Yes?
As a new member of the Clooney Friendship Club, you're automatically entitled to meet all or any one of our more than 500 thoroughly investigated male clientele.
Oh.
In a moment, I'm going to show you our handsome photographic catalog. But before I do, I'm going to make a suggestion, if I have your permission.
Why, of course, Doctor.
I'm not a medical man, Mrs. Gordon. My degrees are in theology and the social sciences. And so I'm not overstepping myself when I say I know an unusual human being when I see one.
Oh.
A human being not subject to the whims and wish of vanity and flesh. A human being desirous of meeting not a younger man, not a frivolous man, but a man of substance, Mrs. Gordon, of dignity, of stature. A serious type. I'm going to make the suggestion that you forget the photographic catalog, Mrs. Gordon. For other women, perhaps, but not for you. I'm going to suggest that you leave the selection to me. Oh. I have in mind for you the serious type, Mrs. Gordon. A gentleman I'm confident will fulfill every hope you had when you so wisely decided to join the Clooney Friendship Club.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation began to receive complaints against Calvin Doc Clooney during the early part of last year. Although the statements filed were inconclusive, containing varying omissions, the general pattern essentially was the same. And it was clear that Clooney was using a legitimate business front to work a large-scale swindle on lonely people in desperate search for companionship. Agent Reynolds and I were assigned actively to track him down, along with his wife and a con man known variously as Sid Carley, Carl Sidney, and Sidney Carlton.
Come right in, please, Dr. Clooney. Oh, hello, Sid. I didn't know it was you.
Yeah, we'll fix that in just a minute. Doc in?
Yeah, sure.
Well, while waiting, this is a friendship clubhouse for a little friendship.
Cut it out, Sid. Are you crazy?
Crazy about you, honey. Oh. Yeah. Know me now?
Norma? Is that the door?
It's Sid, Doc. Oh. You oughtn't to take chances like that.
For you, doll, any chance. Hiya, Doc. Take that friendly look off your face. It's only me.
Hello, Sidney, my boy. Sit down, rest yourself. Norma, there's a jar of martinis, sweetie, in the ice section of the water cooler.
Sure thing.
So, how'd it go? Hmm? Someone comes in.
Oh, here. You go into your act. Don't mind me. Went perfect, Doc.
Good.
Just the way you said. I'm a widower from Ohio. I've got a good steady business, nice income.
Mm.
I've been wanting to meet a decent, nice-appearing woman close to my age.
Good. Where'd you go?
Well, you said no bars for this one. The museum sounded right. She's got a big thing for some clown named El Greco.
No bars, all right, but you in a museum, I don't know, sir.
What do you mean? All business, that's me. 18 holes in the office. I'm aching for culture. So, let Lucille show me.
Oh, Lucille already, huh?
Bye.
Doc?
Yeah, thanks.
To lovely Lucille, and how much are we taking for, anyway?
Anyway, from 5 to 15,000.
She's got that?
And more. According to her confidential chart, hubby left the lady nicely healed.
10-room house and a full-time maid. Who can afford them anymore?
All you have to do, Sid, is to build her confidence till I give the word.
Build her confidence? Well, that's past tense. I've already been asked for dinner Saturday night.
No fooling.
Uh-huh. Why not? After all, I'm the serious type, and the serious type always gets a quick invite for the pork chop.
Free meal, wouldn't you know?
Okay, Sid. Yes, you.
And lovely Lucille.
And friendship, Norma. Good old friendship. Don't forget that.
Back to the serious type in just a moment.
The actions of our American military men are governed by a code of conduct. And each man, by remaining faithful to the code, honors the uniform he wears, whether he be soldier, sailor, airman, or marine. This faithfulness to the code is demonstrated by him not only in combat, but in time of peace. His creed is voiced in these words from the good book: I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what the code means to the American military man.
Act two of tonight's story on the FBI in peace and war, the serious type.
Our first substantial lead came from the police department in New York. A Broadway character named Shrimpy Spiewak had poured out a complaint that sounded very much like Doc Clooney and company, and when Agent Reynolds called on him, our presumption turned out to be a fact.
And you're sure this is the woman, Mr. Spiewak?
Am I sure, he asked me. The woman Shrimpy Spiewak almost married, am I sure, he asked me.
Are you?
Huh?
Sure.
Well, sure, I'm sure. Are you sure you're from the FBI?
I'm sure.
Federal Bureau of Investigation.
You want to see my credentials again?
Hey, listen, I take your word. All I say is, why don't you take mine? Not now.
Mr. Spiewak, you knew the woman was married to Doc Clooney, didn't you?
Oh, sure I knew. I know now, since you told me. Then I knew nothing.
I see.
In a couple of weeks, she'll be back from visiting her folks, she tells me. In a couple of weeks, I'll get back every nickel she borrowed off of me. 3 months. The only thing I get is a crummy postcard saying, have patience, it won't be long now. Not now.
You got a postcard from her, Mr. Spiewak?
That's all. How do you like that? Listen, mister, I don't like to rush you, but I got business to attend.
I won't keep you much longer. Do you still have the card?
I give it to the desk sergeant down at the clink, the station house. Not now. Well, so long, mister. It's nice to see you.
All right, I'm going. I want to call my colleague in Washington, okay, if I use your phone?
This phone?
Reverse charges.
It's out of order. Out, gone, it's out of order. In, gone is all it takes. Not now. So help me.
In going only, eh? Goodbye, Mr. Spiewak. Thanks for your cooperation. I'll be in touch with you.
Never mind me. Be in touch with my money. There's a pay station right down the hall. Shut that door on your way out. And don't forget my 5Gs.
Listen, I take your word. All I say, why don't you take mine?
Character. Okay, okay. Could I talk? Well, what's here? Everybody's got to get down when I'm with an FBI, of all people. Honey boy, you got it. 500 schnapps. Yeah, go ahead. Agent Reynolds, you got it. Agent Reynolds? Who is this? Oh, it's you, Sarge. No, he's gone. If you ask me, so is my 5Gs. A young fellow like that they assigned to my case. You ask me, those crooks haven't got a worry in the world.
Come on, I love it.
And so we stay home and talk. And after a while, she says, Sydney... Sydney, isn't that sweet? She says, Sydney, what about the future? And I say, what about the future? And she says, you've thought about it, haven't you?
Just like that.
I'm telling you, she practically got down on her knees and proposed. She's anxious, Norma. Real anxious. Guess I'm just as charming as you always said.
I always said you were a charming louse, dear.
What's the difference, as long as it pays off in dollars and cents?
You sure it'll pay off?
I'm positive. I even set up the important phone call I'm expecting from Washington. $15,000 it'll pay off, just like the doc said.
$15,000. Five for each of us.
$7,500.
Hmm?
Two into $15,000.
Two into?
Three's a crowd in this racket, Norma. Doc's excess baggage, and you know it.
Dad.
Yes?
I told you once before I don't like that kind of talk.
You told me lots of things before, honey, but you never said you didn't like it.
Well, I'm saying it now.
Oh, come on, Norma. Doc's nothing to you. He's been nothing for 10 years. Why the big act? It's time we narrowed the field the way we should have done long
ago.
Now, stop
it, Sid. Uh-huh. Sid, listen to me.
Yeah? I'm listening.
I gotta think, Sid. I need time.
Well, sure, honey. You think. We got nothing but time. All the way to tomorrow night.
That chair comfortable, Sidney?
Any chair would be comfortable after your marvelous meals. You're gonna spoil me, Lucille. You really are.
I want to spoil you. A woman should make things easy for a man. Shall I turn on the television?
Not just now. I'd rather have you sit here beside me.
All right.
We can let the rest of the world go by, huh? No one but just the two of us.
Yes, Sidney.
You know, Lucille, I've been thinking things.
What things?
You know, what you were saying the other night, the future, what lies ahead.
Oh, I hope I didn't talk out of turn.
You didn't, no. I'm glad you spoke the way you did.
You are?
Yes, sir. I'm glad. That's the trouble with people. Get to know one another, like each other, and still somehow won't put out a hand. Lucille.
Yes, Sidney?
If I say something, ask you something, you wouldn't laugh at me, would you?
Laugh at you?
You wouldn't, would you?
Oh, Sidney, how could you even think such a thing? Now, who could that be?
Oh, let it ring.
It might be something important. I just better find out.
Oh, people never let you alone when you want them to, will they?
I'll get rid of whoever it is quickly. Hello?
Hello, is Mr. Carlton there? Mr. Sidney Carlton? His hotel said he was at this number.
Why, yes, that's right.
This is long distance calling Mr. Hoover in Washington. Would you put Mr. Carlton on, please?
Yes, surely. Just one moment. Sidney.
For me?
Mr. Hoover in Washington.
Oh, of course. I took the liberty of telling the hotel address. You don't mind, dear?
Not in the least. Mr. Herbert Hoover?
Mr. Albert Hoover, my stockbroker.
Oh.
I've been waiting for this call. Between the two of us, it has a good deal to do with what I was about to ask you. Mr. Carlton speaking.
Hello, Sid. It's me. Surprise?
Not at all. I was expecting it.
I'm an idiot to do this, and I know it, but that's life, I guess. That lovely Lucille who answered?
Yes, thank you. Hello, Al. How are you?
What's the matter? Is she standing close by?
Yes, certainly. I'll send you a check by registered mail end of this month.
Okay, I'll shut up. Go ahead. Pour it on.
Well, yes, I know. I know that, Al, but I'm afraid I can't raise another penny just now.
You said a mouthful there, chump.
Well, I can't help it if they guarantee a 20-point rise. It's still out of the question. I'm sorry, Al. I need all available cash for certain personal plans I'm hoping to make. No, there's nothing more important, believe me.
She catch on?
Right away. Listen, I don't like to pass up a clear profit like that, but where could I possibly raise $15,000 by Friday morning?
Sidney.
Yes, dearest. Hold on, Al.
Sidney, if you need a little money until the end of the month...
Oh, don't be absurd, Lucille. I couldn't borrow money from you.
Oh, but...
No, I'm sorry, Al. You'll just have to count me out. Goodbye.
Sidney.
Well, I guess that's that.
Sidney,
No, I will not talk any more about it, Lucille. I'm firm on that. I couldn't borrow money from a woman. Not even if it meant canceling certain personal plans.
Oh, Sidney.
I just couldn't. That's all.
Back to the serious type in just a moment. Friends, this is Jimmy Wallington. You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was born in Virginia in 1751, graduated from Princeton College, and took postgraduate work in Hebrew, theology, philosophy, and law. As a delegate to the Constitutional Convention of 1787, he had much influence in framing and shaping the Constitution of our country. There were many important men present: George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, Benjamin Franklin, among others. But they all agreed that this man was the real father of the Constitution. When he was elected to the presidency in 1808, his services to the struggling young republic placed him in the first rank of her statesmen. Well, you should have his name by now, but in case you don't, here's one more important clue. He was our first wartime president. His administration saw the beginning and the end of the War of 1812. Yes, he was James Madison, fourth president of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Act three of tonight's story on the FBI in peace and war, the serious type.
Clooney Friendship Club, good morning.
Hello, Clooney Friendship Club. This is me.
My, don't we feel chipper this morning. How did it all go?
Perfect. How do you think? Doc there?
In with a client.
Good. Just see he stays occupied till I pick up our 15,000 this afternoon.
He's giving you the 15?
She won me over at 3 o'clock last night. I put up quite a struggle, but I simply can't fight tears.
Never underestimate the power of lovely Lucille, huh?
Well, not when she has wedding bells on her sweet, conniving mind. Now, as soon as I pick
Hold
up...
Hold on 1 minute, Sid. Someone just came in. Yes, sir?
I'm not sure I'm in the right place. Is this...
This is the Clooney Friendship Club.
I'm in the right place.
Of course you are. Everyone feels a bit strange at first. Come in. I'll be right with you.
Thank you.
Sid, I'll have to hang up now. Why don't you call me later in the day?
Okay, honey. I'll call you later. As soon as Lucille and her money are soon parted. Bye.
Sit down, won't you, please?
Thank you.
Now, first, suppose I tell you all about our little club, Mr.
Reynolds.
Mr. Reynolds.
Agent Reynolds.
Agent?
Uh-huh. Suppose you do tell me all about your little club, Mrs. Clooney. I'm really most anxious to hear.
Good afternoon, Lucille. How are you, my dear? Lovely day, isn't it?
Good afternoon, Sidney. Come in, won't you?
Thank you.
I'm glad to see you're in such high spirits. When you left last night, you looked so glum.
I felt glum. But then I said to myself, now that's just foolish and downright old-fashioned.
You said that? Just put your hat over there, will you?
I said just that. After all, I'm only borrowing the money till the end of the month. And to pass up an opportunity of a lifetime...
And marriage along with it.
Exactly. So, first thing this morning, I called Al Hoover and said, Al...
Come into the living room, Sidney. There's someone I want you to meet.
Well, I'm afraid I can't stay too long, dear. I'm due on the 5 o'clock flight to Washington. I said, Al, I've changed my thinking on that sure thing proposition of yours. I'll be down.
Sidney, I'd like you to meet my friend and advisor, Dr. Clooney. Doctor, this is Sidney Carlton. Or have you two already met?
Oh, no, no. Mrs. Clooney handles all our male clientele. Although, of course, I know Mr. Carlton by way of photograph and reputation. How do you do, Mr. Carlton? I can't tell you what meeting you here means to me.
How do you...
Sit down, Sidney. You can all have a little chat. I was just telling Dr. Clooney all about us, wasn't I, Doctor?
Oh, she was indeed, Mr. Carlton. All about you.
Well, I... Like I said, Lucille, I can't stay long.
You have to catch the 5 o'clock flight.
4 o'clock.
Four? I was sure you said five.
5 o'clock daylight, four standard.
You're leaving town, Mr. Carlton?
No, that is, yes. That is, briefly, didn't your wife tell you?
No, she didn't. As a matter of fact, if Mrs. Gordon hadn't happened to call with the good news, I'd never have known about the wedding. Or financial plans.
Financial.
I'm surprised at you, Mr. Carlton. You know the rules of the club, don't you? All plans of any nature between members must be processed through proper channels in accordance with our charter. You know that, don't you?
Well, yes, of course. I really must run, Lucille.
Without the money, Sidney?
Yes, you don't want to leave without the money.
What?
The 15,000. In spite of this flagrant breach, I couldn't resist the charm and sincerity of this lovely lady.
She won me over completely.
You mean...
He means it's all right for me to lend you the money if you give your word you'll never breach the rules again.
You do give your word, Mr. Carlton? You swear?
Oh, I do, up and down.
A really lovely lady, sir. I only hope you appreciate her. Well, here you are. My personal check for $15,000.
Your what?
My personal check. Now that the breach has been discovered, Mrs. Gordon has rectified it by giving me her $15,000 to record through proper club channels.
She's giving you the money?
She's already given it. Well, Mr. Carlton, I don't want to keep you if you're catching the 4 o'clock.
I could catch the 5, in fact.
Pardon me. Hello?
Hello, is Mr. Sidney Carlton there, please?
Yes, he is. Just 1 minute, please. Sidney, it's for you.
For me?
I think it's that Mr. Hoover.
Tell him I've left. I'm catching the 4.
You could catch the 5.
Sidney, I've already said you were here.
If you'd rather I speak to him.
No. I'll speak.
Tell him you've got the check and not to go ahead without you.
The check, uh-huh. Hello.
Hello, Sidney, there.
Is he ever?
Then I'm too late.
Tell him about the check, Sidney.
And what can you do?
What can I do? I'm catching the 4 o'clock to Washington.
I know. That's where this one's taking me.
This one?
Well, he told me that one would be taking you.
That one?
Agent Stevens. Agent Reynolds told me.
What?
But Agent Stevens would be taking you.
Taking who?
You. Agent Reynolds is taking me. I said I didn't think the FBI would play such a dirty trick. He said call and find out.
FBI?
What's the matter with you? You said he was there, didn't you? Didn't he?
Well, was it Mr. Hoover?
Mr. Hoover? Mr. Washington? FBI? Sidney, what is this?
Tell him, Sidney.
You're...
He's Agent Stevens. I let him use my dining room for the privilege of overhearing your conversation.
Agent Stevens?
That's right, Doc. We've been trying to catch up with you and Sid Carlton for quite a while now. Mrs. Gordon was good enough to cooperate by calling you for us and inviting you over here.
What are you saying, sir? You're linking me with this... Mrs. Gordon, kindly tell this gentleman...
I've already told him, Doctor. Then he told me about your racket.
Racket? Are you trying to imply that the Clooney Friendship Club
is... Forget it, Doc. They got us 4 ways from Sunday.
Why, you lousy two-bit four-pushing phony...
Doc, take it easy. Save your voice for the Bureau. We'll let you talk down there.
Bureau, just where do you think you're taking me?
Where? Why, to Washington, Doc, on the 4 o'clock. And if I were you, if I were either of you...
Yeah?
If I were, I wouldn't object too strenuously. Resisting a government officer is a very serious offense, and believe me, I'm a very serious type. Calvin, Doc Clooney, Sid Carlton, and Norma Clooney were indicted, brought to trial, and convicted. The prison sentences for Clooney and Carlton were for 6 years each, Norma Clooney receiving a lesser term of 4 years. Lucille Gordon was a forthright and attractive witness on the stand, and it's our guess she'll have better luck next time with the serious type.
In tonight's story, Paul McGrath played the part of Doc Clooney. Bill Johnstone was Sidney Carlton. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.